This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be back. And Ed wanted to play that music in tribute to my return. It's like coming back from the wars where all of the people are on either side as you walk down the middle. And they're hailing you and throwing all kinds of nice things at you. Maybe a chair once in a while.
Money.
I wish that were the case. Actually, we did that because we've got the Olympics, Ed, and it's coming up this weekend. And it's interesting. They're calling it the 2020 Olympics, but the last time I checked my watch, it's a year later. What's going on there? Why don't they call it the 2021 Olympics?
Well, because it got pushed back because of COVID.
Yes.
We all know that.
You are right. Anyway, good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed, we thank you very much for joining us. It is Friday, July 23rd. In a few minutes, we will be talking with Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation. We're going to talk about the Georgia voting law. You've been hearing things about that. You've been hearing about the Texas voting law. We're going to talk about that. Is it really an attempt to suppress the minority vote? That is the question. Stay tuned for that. And will we all have to mask up again, even if we are vaccinated? Apparently, the White House is mulling just that scenario. We are going to get some thoughts about this and some other ideas and thoughts from the proprietor of the barber pole. You know, he is probably the best barber in Tampa Bay, Andrew Ceresi. And black-white relations, apparently at an all-time low, an all-time low, if you can believe that, according to the latest Gallup poll. We are going to take a look at that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 cheapest states to live in, we are going to make a note of them. So stay tuned for that. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin for the best haircut in Tampa Bay with a great price. It can't be beat, really. Andrew's Master Barbershop, they're open Tuesday through Saturday. And you can call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. Also, do not forget Good Morning Clearwater. Tony was doing a great job, was he not? Subbing for Paul and Tracy Allen this morning. Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tantalk Radio Network. All right. So, everybody is getting used to walking into the grocery store and all these other places they normally frequent without wearing a mask. But momentum appears to be building behind calls to bring back universal mask wearing, even for those who are vaccinated. Even for those who are vaccinated. Now, I'm wondering about that. They're talking about it in the White House. And I don't think that they want to make a big deal out of it right now. They are waiting and going back and forth, and the Center for Disease Control, I don't think anybody is in command of this leadership topic right now. Certainly Joe Biden is not in command of it. In fact, I wonder if he can even find the Royal Capitol bathroom inside the White House sometimes. You know, he's just kind of lost. But a lot of people, especially on the Democratic side, are looking for more masking again. And the Biden administration carefully tiptoed around that, about updating their mask guide. Remember, Biden was promoting the fact they were now coming out of the whole virus situation. He kind of trumpeted that thought. But apparently, they're turning around and backing up a little bit right now. So we'll see where all of that goes. In the meantime, as usual, Ed, let me ask you something. Did you watch any of that CNN town hall? I think it was Wednesday night. I know the answer. I just want to... Joe Biden.
To be honest, Paul, I've tried to watch CNN, but I break out in this rash. And it's like digging into China to get it to stop itching. And then I start to swell and heat up, and I have to change the channel.
Ah, your health is at stake when that happens. I don't want you to ever watch Biden again because I want you around for a long time.
And why would I watch something that's pre-scripted? I mean,
that's true.
I mean, if I want to watch something that's pre-scripted, I'll watch wrestling.
There you go.
You know, it's the same thing.
Well, it's more.
You know what the outcome's going to be,
and you'd learn more. Yeah. You'd learn more. Well, anyway, he went on CNN. The whole thing was fixed. They were even asking the people that were going to ask the questions whether they were Democrats or Republicans, and it turned out that they actually. Did you see that it was like 3-1?
Well, you know what? I was impressed with the crowd that was clapping.
And then, it was about 10 people.
Well, no. What happened was, I said, wow, now that's a crowd? Where did they find enough people? And then when they drew back, it was three rows
that's
of people.
Correct.
And they were clapping, and that made correct. More sense to me.
By the way, they flopped in the ratings. You'll be delighted to hear this. They finished behind Fox, MSNBC, and reruns of
the Gong Show.
Foster Leghorn, the rooster,
and rerun of the Gong Show too.
I did not watch, thank God, the thing live, but I did watch parts of the answers that Biden made, and we make jokes about his ability to stand on his feet, chew gum, and utter a complete sentence. But it is a little scary. He goes around and around, and sometimes he just gets lost in his own words.
Yeah, and you could see when he just kind of stares off the space. I think that's when somebody in his ear is bringing him back. Yeah,
you do think he's got an earpiece?
Oh yeah, he has to.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Maybe one of these days. Wouldn't it be fun if the earpiece fell out, or if it was connected to something in his shirt, and it kind of, it's like those guys that get wired in those movies, you know, so that they can get the goods on the bad guy.
I'd just like to get a hold of the microphone that's hooked to it. Just for 2 minutes.
Oh, I can imagine what you would say to
him. Just for 2 minutes.
Joe, start tap dancing.
Do that.
Start tap dancing, Joe.
Do that whisper again, Joe.
Do the whisper. do the Biden whisper, Joe. Look forward, stare into the camera with that incredulous look, and whisper.
You know, he should patent that, I think.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Well, one of these days, what's going to happen is he's going to lean forward too far, and he's going to fall over the dais, which I'm worried about.
I got them. $1.9 trillion relieved so far.
You know, that sounds like one of those spirit voices that come to you in your dream. It's like a nightmare. Anyway, enough of this hilarity.
Yeah.
We're going to go into something serious. We're going to take our break, and when we come back, Hans von Spakovsky is going to join us. We will talk about the Georgia voting law.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. And we are glad to be back, by the way, on a Friday. And delighted to have back Hans von Spakovsky, one of our buddies. He is a senior legal fellow at the great Meese Center for Legal and Judicial Studies of the Heritage Foundation, and he has written a piece in the Daily Signal, The Truth About Georgia's Voting Law. Hans, welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure, because we always learn something from you, of course. And Hans, you talked a little bit about what this Georgia voting law is really all about. I think about the Texas situation with their voting law as well, and the exodus of these Democrats to Washington, D.C. But the truth is that there's really nothing that is suppressing, from what I've read and can see, suppressing the minority vote.
Well, no, neither in Florida's election reform bill or Georgia's or the one out of Texas. You know, I watched the press conference these Texas Democrats held up here in D.C., and you know what they were complaining about? They were complaining about, for example, remember, Paul, last year's election, we saw credentialed poll watchers and observers being thrown out of polling places and or being placed so far back that they couldn't effectively see what was going on. Texas doesn't want that to happen, so they've strengthened the law to make it clear that observers have to be able to see everything going on in a polling place. They can't interfere. You know, if they try to talk to a voter or interfere with the voting process, yeah, they can be thrown out. But otherwise, they have to be put in a position where they can see everything that's going on. The Democrats were complaining about that.
You're right.
You have to sit there and say, why do they not want observers to be able to see what's going on, perhaps in partisan-controlled precincts? I mean, saying that that's voter suppression is just absurd. I mean, similarly, look, Texas has had a real problem with what everybody calls vote harvesters. I call them vote traffickers. You know, these are paid political operatives who go to people's homes to pick up their absentee ballot. The problem is, in Texas, they have found that a lot of these paid political operatives pressure and coerce voters to vote a particular way. So the Texas reform bill simply says, look, if you are someone who is assisting a voter by, for example, picking up their absentee ballot and delivering it, you're going to have to fill out a form that provides your name, your address, and whether you are a relative of the voter or a paid political operative. Again, Democrats are objecting to that, saying that's voter suppression. Now, nobody who's acting legitimately would object to that. Only people who potentially are doing illegal things would object to that, and that's what Democrats apparently want. They don't want to be able to find folks who voters later complain coerced or pressured them to vote.
Right, exactly. I never hear, when I hear people being upset about a voting law in Texas or in Georgia in this particular case, I never hear them actually go down, tunnel down and say, here is the particular thing in this voting law that is suppressing the minority vote. They don't say that at all. They just generally say, this is a suppression of the minority vote or whatever. And then if you lie about something enough, a lot of people will start believing it as gospel.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And that's certainly what's been going on here. I mean, look, I read all these reports, media reports at CNN, at the New York Times, elsewhere, all these, you know, left-wing media. And what they would simply do is repeat the assertion made by the complainers, like these Texas Democrats, but not actually get into the content of the reform bill. And so that gives people the wrong impression because, as you say, when you dig down into what's actually going on, you got to sit there and say, they're claiming this is Jim Crow? That's just ridiculous.
Sure. We're talking with Hans von Spakovsky. He is a senior legal fellow at the great Heritage Foundation. He penned a piece, The Truth About Georgia's Voting Law. So, Hans, let's get into the Georgia voting law. Just, maybe touch on some of the things. Isn't one of the things that they wanted to do to reinforce voter ID?
Yes. In fact, Georgia has had a voter ID law in place, a good one, for more than a decade. No problem. They provide a free ID to anyone who doesn't have one. Turnout in the state has reached record levels, including of black Georgians. But it had one big failure. It only applied to in-person voting. So Georgia said, look, we're going to extend this to absentee ballots. And they made it really easy to comply. You don't even have to provide your photocopy of your ID. You can just write in the serial number of your driver's license or your free ID. And if you don't have any of that, you can submit a photocopy of a utility bill, bank statement, paycheck, or government document with your name and address on it. Now, who in the world is not going to be able to comply with that?
Of course not, but it's I think that's too liberal. I mean, I don't think I can go and photocopy anybody's utility bill. I mean, I'm just being, it's a lot of trouble to do it. But thinking about all of this, I think they're not strict enough.
Oh, look, I agree with you, but the point is that just crazy to say that that is the equivalent of Jim Crow, which I would like to remind people. Jim Crow was when black Georgians, black Alabamians were barred from registering to vote, were actually physically kept out of polling places. I don't think asking for an ID, particularly when the state will freely give one to anybody, is the equivalent of that.
Right.
But that's what those Democrats are saying. It's the same thing.
Yeah, and you even said that when a federal judge threw out the lawsuit against the voter ID law, he said the challengers could not produce a single resident who was unable to vote because of the new ID requirement. Not one.
Yes.
What is going on with this thing? Why are they doing this?
Well, I got to tell you, I think there's actually two things going on. One, look, they know, for example, that the claims they're making about ID are not, in fact, true. But I think they believe it somehow will help them raise money and help them somehow get votes if they scare
right.
voters into believing that, the Republicans who are mostly, in favor of these are all racist and they're trying to keep you out of the poll.
Exactly right. That's it. If they can continue to have people believe that there's this huge divide and there is this attempt, they're going to get more money. And this is the mantra of the Democratic Party to some extent.
Yeah.
They feed off of division. If there was no division. If there was no division, if people were getting there's a new Gallup poll, by the way. I should mention this in passing, that shows that the black white relationships says here for the second consecutive year, U.S. adults' positive ratings of relations between black and whites at their lowest point in more than two decades. So in some ways, Hans, it sounds like Democrats are succeeding.
Oh, I think that is exactly what they are trying to do and are unfortunately succeeding, which is trying to drive a wedge between people based on what group they identify with or what race they're a member of. And I think it's to them, it's a divide and conquer strategy because they think it will get them political power. And it's, look, it's the exact opposite of what America is about. You know, for over 200 years, we have been knitting our country together into one nation, and they want to reverse that.
Yeah. So I don't think they're going to get anywhere in court, either in Texas or in Georgia, by going after these voting laws. Do they just want to keep this issue going until November of next year, do you think? Or is this thing going to finally kind of slow down? It's like the insurrection thing. I don't know. They want to keep dusting off that thing and making it appear, you know, the further away we get from that whole thing on January 6th, the worse they want to make it look. I don't know. There's just something like they want to hang on to old stuff.
Yes, but I think it's also because you need to understand almost the day after the Georgia election reform bill was passed, eight lawsuits were filed. Eight lawsuits. And what by liberal advocacy groups, everybody from the ACLU to the NAACP and so on, League of Women Voters and others, they have an enormous amount of money. I mean, literally hundreds of millions of dollars go into those liberal advocacy organizations to fight things like voter ID. And they try to wear states down. They hope that they can sue and that they'll have a weak attorney general who's not going to fight them the way they should to defend the state law. Or they're hoping they will get a liberal Obama-appointed federal judge who's going to give them everything they want, and then, you know, it's up to the state to try to appeal and overturn bad decisions. We may get some bad decisions from those very liberal judges that Obama appointed. That's what happened last year, and we kept getting those liberal decisions overturned
right
by courts of appeal and Supreme Court. But they have a lot of money to burn to try to wear states down on it.
Right. Do you think, it seems to me that the Biden administration is also perpetuating this lie, I guess you would say, about voting. They're getting behind it. I think that's, I don't know what the word is, it's just unbelievable that they would do that. They know it's a lie.
No, they do, but it's a coordinated effort between the Biden administration and organizations like the ACLU and others. And part of the reason for that is, look, the charge on this is being led by the Civil Rights Division of the U.S. Department of Justice. I used to work there. Look, the people in charge of that division, the political appointees, plus the employees there, all the career lawyers there, all of the, several years ago, Inspector General of the Justice Department issued a report about that division and criticized them because they said they only hired career lawyers to enforce voting rights from five organizations and ignored anybody else, no matter how qualified they were, and that was the ACLU, the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights, basically the five leading big Democratic allies and advocacy groups. So the Civil Rights Division, Justice Department now, it's as if it's being run by the DNC.
Finally, Hans, a little off the subject, but I would like to get your opinion on it. Nancy Pelosi's knocked a couple of Republicans off this so-called committee to investigate the January 6th insurrection. Is that thing... doesn't that completely delegitimize any kind of bipartisan look into what happened?
Yes, it does. But look, they're not interested in a real look at what happened. They want to play this up. They want to play this up in a way that helps them politically, and that does not mean getting to the real truth of what occurred. Look, I don't condone what happened. I think it shouldn't have, you know, breaking into the Capitol and all that. But the idea that it was a revolutionary insurrection as opposed to, you know, trespassing.
And it was trespassing. That's what I mean, these people were wandering around looking stupid in there, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. But do you notice they won't call? They keep referring to it as an insurrection because that helps them.
Of course.
With what they're doing.
Oh, it was a planned. It was like a whole group, an organized group of people came pouring through with one intention, you know, to do in the people inside that building. No. They were wandering around, sitting in somebody's chair, taking selfies.
Right.
I mean, let's be honest. They looked stupid. I think that's the worst thing you could say about it. They looked stupid doing that stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
And the only person who got killed was an unarmed protester. Yeah. She was trespassing, but she was killed.
Yes, she was. In fact, I'm wondering, are they going to really take a look at that? Why was she shot? I mean, was it just somebody firing into the air? A Capitol policeman? Do we really know why she was shot?
Well, apparently that was looked at by the Justice Department, and there was news some weeks ago that they're not going to do anything about it.
Yeah, there you go. Hans, always a pleasure. Thank you so very much, my friend.
Sure, thanks for having me. Good luck.
All right. Hans von Spakovsky. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, are we all going to have to mask up again? We're going to ask the proprietor of the barber pole. I wonder if he's looking for his mask. Maybe he keeps it in the drawer behind where he does your hair. Anyway, we'll talk with him right after the break.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports!
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. Thank you so very much. By the way, we are here every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern on the great Tantalk Radio Network. But if you cannot listen to us live, but want to hear us anyway, thanks to Big Ed, go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com, and click on the podcast button. You will see all of our recent shows, chronological order, and put some in there. Bless his big heart. So you can listen to us anytime, OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, so all of a sudden, and I do not know how this country is going to respond, they are talking about remasking up again. It's like, nobody wants to do this. I don't know that they're going to be able to get a goodly number of people that have taken their masks off and are wandering into the stores right now to start this whole process over again. But I know somebody whose shop never forced you to wear a mask in the first place, and it was Andrew's Master Barbershop. Andrew, would you mask up if President Biden said we all got to mask up again?
No.
Well, thank you for that. Nice interview with you.
You know, Paul?
What?
Let me tell you something. Masking up. They're trying to scare the crap out of people with this virus coming back, and this, let me tell you what's on the line right now, and let me tell you how strong your governor is, okay?
All right.
He's putting it all on the line right now. He's saying no mask mandate. Oh, they're on the round of doubles. Oh, Florida, is going to be a pandemic. Their numbers are going up. What is Ron telling him? We're riding this out. I expect a decline in August. Now, Ron is putting his whole career on the line, buddy, because if nothing happens like we suspect, it's nothing but a big scare tactic, Ron's going to be the biggest hero in the world.
I think you may be right.
If all of a sudden there's a big death rate and everybody dies, he's down the tubes. Okay?
Yep.
That's how strong your governor is in this state. He's going right up against these morons. Look at the moron in St. Petersburg. He wonders why there's algae blooms going on. He's worried about racism instead of fixing his sewers, okay? Racism is all of a sudden going to be declared an emergency in St. Petersburg. The only emergency they got in St. Petersburg is Rick Priceman, the biggest jerk there is.
For those that don't know, we're talking about, first of all, the algae growth, and that is a common occurrence here in Tampa Bay in the Gulf. And it kills hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of fish. And it's something that just keeps, you know, reappearing. What you're saying is he's got better things to worry about than whether or not to mask up.
That's right. But this guy, you know, Biden can't talk about nothing but race and masks because he doesn't know what else is going on. This guy's a freaking moron tearing this country apart. You know the dummies you're going to see wearing the mask? The ones that got 5 shots and are afraid to walk out their door. They're going to put plastic bubbles around themselves. Let me tell you something. This country better wake up. These people are freaking weak. And if the World War II generation was like the people we got in this country today, we'd have been speaking Japanese and German.
Wow. Well, you know, there are a lot of people, apparently, that got the virus even though they were vaccinated. In fact, I don't know if you watched the hockey games, but
yeah,
that woman that does...
got it. And
the
I
woman
heard
that sang
this morning... She's doing great. You know, once in a while, she has a hard time breathing. Well, number one, she's overweight. We know that. Number two, she's getting symptoms of it, and she's going to survive. Okay?
Yeah.
They're trying to blow this up, Paul, right until November because that is all they've got. They have done nothing to back up what their agenda was except destroy America and stupid people that are following them. Let me tell you something. I can't wait when Ron DeSantis, one governor, he's got the guts to stand up against this whole country telling him that this is
right.
Behind.
I was reading in The Hill, which is a liberal-leaning website and an organization, that that it's all but certain that Ron DeSantis is wandering around the country and supposedly doing the things that he is doing because he is preparing himself to run in 2024. What do you think about that?
Well, he's running in 2022 for governor, period. Why do people worry about 2024? We can't even get out of 2021 yet.
Right. I agree.
All right, they're worried about 2024. Let me tell you something. 2024, the United States of America is going to be Cuba.
You think it's going to be that bad the way we're going?
What's going on in Cuba? Let me tell you something. If Donald Trump was president, those Cuban people would be free today.
Right.
Okay? What's going on there is disgusting. We have the weakest government in the world. The European countries are laughing their rear ends off at us. They're making a perfect fool out of a Biden, and they're making a fool out of us.
We're talking with the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Andrew Ceraci. Andrew, being the political guy that you are, I'm sure that you watched with bated breath Wednesday night when CNN did a town hall with President Biden.
No, I didn't watch it. I wouldn't waste my time. I'll watch the pickers before I watch it.
I knew you would say something like that. I watched also, like you, for my health sake. I did not watch it, but I did see snippets later. It seems to me that Biden, honest to God, gets confused when he's talking, goes in some circles, and it was an embarrassment. They had a very small crowd. Again, one suspects that CNN was totally managing it to make Biden look good. It was a joke. I don't know. I guess I don't have a question for you other than this guy scares me, Biden.
Well, he should scare everybody. The whole Democrat Party ought to scare this country. I don't understand why the American people that are following him are so stupid.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right.
You know what they're doing, Paul? Oh, we're going to give them money, and they're going to vote for us again. Let's give them money we don't have. Do these morons know that their kids that they're popping out that get $300 a week extra are going to be paying for it? What are they? What are those kids going to pay for it? With their welfare checks, there won't be nothing left.
Right.
And another thing, Paul.
Yeah.
You know why they keep giving the young people money and giving the young people money? Do they raise Social Security? Not at all. You know why?
Why?
Because they know the older generation's dying off. They aren't worried about them voting too much longer. But they want to prime up this young generation. Let's give them things. Let's give them money. Let's give them this. They'll vote for us, and that's how we're going to get our power.
No, I think you're right. Ronald Reagan once said, we're one generation away from losing our freedom. He's right. And we're there. We are in the generation where there is an assault. There is an assault on our personal freedom. There's an assault on our religious beliefs. There is an assault on our ability to say what we feel without being censored. I mean, there is an assault on the way they're trying to actually shape the way we behave now.
Well, Paul, look at how they're dividing the whites and the blacks. Come on. And you know what? The blacks and the stupid whites need to learn what's going on over here. Are they that stupid that they're seeing what's going on, destroying it, dividing it? What is wrong with these people?
You're absolutely right. This assault on police, defund the police, and then liberal mayors are keeping certain people that do certain kinds of like shoplifting and this and that out of jail, and by ignoring them, encouraging them. You know what I mean?
Well, the people are going to take it on themselves eventually here. I got news for you. It will happen. Keep it up. And if that's what they're trying to do, they're going to have it. But I believe that the people are going to march to Washington to take care of business there before they go on their own citizens with each other.
Yeah.
That I can guarantee you.
Well, I think there's truth to that. People, the so-called silent majority, only take it for so long. And
then realize, Paul, this isn't Cuba here. We're all armed.
Yeah.
And there's a reason we're armed, okay? And it's not to protect our home. It's to keep us from a tyranny government that we have now.
That's a good point. So we've got November of next year with, I think that the Republicans are in a wonderful shape to take back both houses of Congress. The trick is, let's say that McConnell becomes the Senate Majority Leader again, and whoever becomes the Speaker of the House on the Republican side, will they try to go back? Will they honestly try to go back towards our individual freedom with legislation or deregulation or whatever you want to call it? I mean, really try to put the genie back in the bottle. What do you think?
Well, the first thing we got to do is get rid of the Republican rhinos. Number one, because they're all part of the deep state. Lisa Murkowski, Collins, Romney, Liz Cheney, they all need to be gone. If they're part of the Republican, let me tell you what. The Republican Party, Paul, calls me up and wants donations. And you know what I tell people?
What?
Do not donate to the Republican Party, period.
Mm-hmm.
You donate to the candidate of your choice, yeah, personally.
That makes sense.
The Republican Party, I don't trust them as much as I trust the Democrats, Paul.
Right. So I think, going back to Ron DeSantis, I think he's got the bull by the horns. I think he's really handling all of these issues in a wonderful way.
Well, they're going to try and nail him.
Well, of course they are.
Democrats
are afraid of
him. Going after him because they want masks, and he says no way. And I'm telling you what. Whoever wins this, be it him or the Democrats, are the ones going to come way ahead.
Yeah.
But I'm putting my money on Ron because I believe that everything they're doing with the media, the government, I'm so sick of hearing about COVID, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
COVID and race. Hey, morons, Chinese are building islands in the South China Sea ready to come after you. But don't worry about it. The COVID's going to kill you before they do. How stupid are people?
Very gullible.
I believe the American IQ today, what happened is about minus one.
It does seem like we are just nodding our heads at nonsense sometimes. You're right about that.
Let me tell you about this younger generation. They're going to get up off of their butts. They're going to find out what these old farts like me are made of. Okay, I got news for you. This old fart that's 66 will take antenna these 30-year-olds today.
I thought you were 46.
There's a lot more of me around, believe me.
Yeah.
We're in for a rude awakening. And as far as their critical race theory, I'm putting in my critical respect theory. And they can use it in schools. If they got to beat it in the kids with a baseball bat, do it.
We need more people like you, I'm telling you, Andrew. And this critical race theory idea, I think it's dying out. But I think it's because people have all of a sudden responded. They've really lit a flame under people when they go into grammar school and take these kids that are so vulnerable at this point, right? Intellectually vulnerable, and start jamming that stuff down their throat.
You know, Paul, the blacks better wake up because the Democrat Party is putting them right back into slavery, and they don't even see it happening.
They are free
in this country. The Democrat Party is making slaves out of them. If they want to be slaves, well, God bless you. We freed you once. We're not going to do it again.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you make a good point, my friend. As always, we thank you so very much for being with us. Have a wonderful weekend. I'm looking forward to talking with you again on Monday.
You got it, buddy. You have a good weekend.
All right. There he goes. Boy, oh, boy, does he owe. Don't have to worry. Just ask him a question, you know. It's like winding him up. All right, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, among other things, black-white relations, apparently at an all-time low.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest-running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question. Get an answer. Free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Come on, we are back with the final segment. Thank you so very much for being with us. And Ed, sports news flash. The Cleveland Indians have a new name. Did you know that? Huh? You did or you did not? Cleveland Indians have officially announced their new name. They are no longer the Cleveland Indians. They have changed it after all these years.
Okay.
You know what the new name is?
No.
You do not. Are you ready?
Go ahead.
The Cleveland Guardians.
Is this for real?
This is for real. This is for
Cleveland
real.
Cleveland Guardians.
The Cleveland Guardians. The team will be known as the Guardians. The organization released a video with Tom Hanks narrating this. Cleveland launched a section of its official website dedicated to the new name. Team owner Paul Dolan wrote in a letter to fans, quote, "The Indians will always be part of our history, just as Cleveland has always been the most important part of our identity. In searching for a new brand, we sought a name that strongly reflects the pride, resiliency, and loyalty of Clevelanders." This is a bunch of nothing.
You know what Cleveland people are going to say?
What?
You want to go to an Indians game tonight?
Yes. The Guardians. Oh, my goodness. There's nothing wrong with the word Indians.
What disparaging or what sort of humility did the Cleveland Indians bring to any native tribe?
That is correct, sir.
I mean, If not, it celebrates them, does it not?
Exactly.
People dress up as them. I mean, fans are dressing up as Indians to root on their team.
Of course.
Now, what's
that the Atlanta
next?
Braves are going to go next, right? The Braves will probably lose.
The Buccaneers are going to have to change their name because Pirates are now offended?
Well, because Pirates came along and did bad things, and you therefore can't be a Buccaneer because you went after certain kinds of people. You went after the vulnerable. This is getting ridiculous.
It's
very scary that we are allowing...
You know, it's everywhere, Paul. Andrew touched on just a minute ago that I just saw a flash on Bay News 9. Rick Kreisman, mayor, until he's ousted, finally, in St. Petersburg, is behind this. Racism is about to be declared a public health crisis in St. Petersburg.
What is he talking about?
It's just like this whole thing with DeSantis back and forth about the red tide. Where's the state of emergency? Yeah. State of emergency. And then DeSantis says, if you'll check, we've already allocated money for that. It's there for you. But what Kreisman wants is when you declare in a state of emergency, other things, more pork is added
exactly
to that. And that's when it gets dispersed and more money.
That's the whole thing.
So it's not about red tide.
Exactly. Exactly. This is the way you open the cash drawer and grab all kinds of money from the taxpayers. Speaking about this whole thing, black-white, for the second consecutive year, U.S. adults' positive ratings of relations between black and white Americans at their lowest point in more than 20 years of measuring. Currently, 42% of Americans say that relations between black and white, this is 42%, are very or somewhat good. But listen, 57% say they are somewhat or very bad. 57% of this country.
I don't buy that.
57%.
I don't believe in 5.7%, for crying out loud.
No, but
I
this,
don't.
But people's ratings of relations, not that they don't like blacks or whites. You know what I mean?
Right.
Their ratings, their perception. Mm-hmm. Of the relationship. Most recent rating of black-white relations in the U.S., not statistically different, apparently from last year's 44%, who said it was good or somewhat good, very good or somewhat good. However, the reading has eroded 9 percentage points over the past 2 years as the nation has grappled with the George Floyd case. So, if you wave a red towel in front of a bull long enough, he's going to respond.
Sure.
A red flag or a red whatever, a cape. So this is the kind of thing that is going on. And the more that people, let's say on the white side of things, hear about the George Floyd was a criminal, by the way. He was a drug addict and a criminal. If I remember correctly, he had a rap sheet a mile and a half long.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that does not condone his death. I'm just saying. They are building up people like that, and they continue to go back to it. If they looked at the 99.9% of the times that black and white, white policemen and black people have gotten along just fine in different encounters, but they don't want to look at that. They don't want to look at that.
Yeah, they don't want to look at that. But on the other side, Paul, we have people that are tearing down statues, not because of the things they did for America, because something bad in their past, whether they owned a slave or did something in that past, has to be torn down. Yet you can take a statue of a man who is a career criminal, threatened to kill somebody, but because an officer made a mistake and killed him, that we're going to erect a statue and name laws after him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if we were going to look for flaws to bring down statues of our former patriots, et cetera, there wouldn't be a statue that would be up because they all had flaws. Every one of them had flaws. We all have flaws. So no statues for anybody because you're never going to be flawless, ever.
Why is there a Clinton Museum? Why is there a Clinton Museum? I mean, look what he did to women.
Well, maybe they have a lot of what he did to women in the museum.
Well,
you don't
know.
You haven't been there.
I think that's very shameful. I think women should be very upset. Look what he did to an intern.
Right.
And lied.
Exactly. So if we can erect a museum or a library to Bill Clinton, right, exactly right. All right. It is time for our top 10, Ed. It really is. And we got a good one. This comes from CNBC. It's the top 10 cheapest states to live in. So here we go. Number 10. Indiana, one of the cheapest. Cost of living score, 62 out of 75. So let's see. Average home price, about $340,000. Number 9. It's a tie. First one is Tennessee, where cost of living index, 65 out of 75. And the average price of a house, $395,000. All right. Number 8 again. Georgia. So Georgia and Tennessee. Average home price there, $380,000. By the way, you can buy milk for about $2 there. But you know what? Milk for $2. I used to be able to buy a gallon of milk for less than that for a couple, not long ago. I guess it's really going up again, right? All right, number 7. New Mexico. By the way, there's a lot of, dare I say it, Indians in New Mexico, aren't there? I wonder if they would get rid of the Navajo name.
Uh-uh.
Right? A lot of Navajos there. Anyway, New Mexico is number 7. Number 6. Number 6 is Alabama. You know, most of these are in the Southeast, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm not surprised. They score 68 out of 75 points. By the way, a half gallon of milk. I guess it's a half gallon we've been looking at, not a gallon. Half gallon of milk is $1.80.
Okay.
All right. Number 5. Missouri, indeed. Cost of living score, 69 out of 75. The average home price is in Kansas City metro area, $299,000. Not bad. Number 4. Back to the Southeast, I guess, or maybe you could call it the Mid-South. Arkansas, 71 out of 75 points. Little Rock, average home price in Little Rock, $371,000. By the way, a half a gallon of milk there is $1.78. All right, number 3. Oklahoma, 72 out of 75 points. It's really cheap to live there. Half a gallon of milk, though, is $2.14. Your monthly energy bill, if you live in Oklahoma, is about $153 a month.
Hmm.
All right. Number 2, Kansas. But we are not in Kansas anymore, Dorothy. But Kansas is second. Their cost of living score, listen to this, 74 out of 75. The average home price in the average town in Kansas is Dodge City, $299,000. Okay, Ed, you want to guess what is the number one cheapest state?
Oh, because a lot of people are moving there. I'm going to say North Carolina.
North Carolina. It's a good guess. But it's Mississippi.
Mm.
It's Mississippi. And, you know, Mississippi is always considered, quite frankly, I guess the poorest of all 50 states, too.
Mm.
But Mississippi's cost of living score is 75 out of 75.
Wow.
The average home price, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, $248,000. But you still have to pay $2.37 for a glass of milk. Your monthly energy bill there is about $154.
Did you say a glass of milk?
I meant a half
gallon.
That's
expensive. I don't know what the hell.
I'm sorry.
How'd they get to number one?
I don't know how it got. I got Bidenitis for a moment. I meant a half gallon of milk. Half gallon. All right. Thank you so very much for listening. We will compose ourselves and be back on Monday. But do remember, freedom works.